Are you tuned in? Because I am. It's the Nancy Ruffin Show.
You are tuned in to the Nancy Ruffin Show, a digital global classroom where individuals across all ages, backgrounds, and career levels tune in for guidance and motivation to live life on their own terms. Hosted by award-winning author, transformation coach, and the self-proclaimed Latina Oprah, The Nancy Ruffin Show is where inspiring thought leaders, modern-day influencers, and social game changers come to discuss their own personal journeys and have real conversations about the journey to success. It's where the next generation of leaders come to tap into their potential, ignite their fire, and expand their self-awareness. So if you're ready to power up and blaze trails of positive change, then you're in the right place. Let's get started. Welcome back, guys. It's your girl, Nancy Ruffin. You are tuned in to the number one personal and professional development podcast on these internet streets. This is where we focus on developing tomorrow's leaders today. And though we haven't been focusing too much on leadership these past few episodes, just because of all that's been going on in the world, I think that it's important to understand why leadership is so critical, especially during these times. And if you've been, you know, looking at the news and social media, it is during moments like these that we really need individuals who display exceptional leadership skills, because the whole world is really looking at our global leaders, at our federal leaders, at our, you know, state and city leaders to guide us through this. It's been a rough few weeks, you know, to say the least. Many of us at this point are working from home. If you have children, then you've also been homeschooling. And to top it all off, we're not allowed out of our homes. So this is a huge adjustment for everyone. And if we don't have leaders in place that we can look to, that we can turn to, that we can trust in guiding us through what probably has been one of the scariest moments that we all have lived through, it becomes really, just really hard. And it becomes even more difficult for those who suffer from anxiety and depression. You know, the fear of the unknown is a very real fear. And I find that even individuals who don't suffer from anxiety, they're being tested through all of this, you know, and it's important to understand individually and collectively as a society, how the part that we all play in this, you know. And so I've been adjusting to being home. It's probably been about, I don't know, I'm going on 2 or 3 weeks since I've been working from home. And it was a decision that I had initially come to on my own, because as a healthcare professional, as a healthcare worker, I'm considered an essential worker, you know, so I'm supposed to be going into the hospital. But as this pandemic continues to spread, this virus continues to spread, and so many more people are becoming infected, I had made a personal decision to work from home. And it was a conversation that I was prepared to have with my boss, because at some point we have to take accountability and responsibility for our own health and well-being. And I was at the point where I wasn't willing to compromise my health anymore or the health of my family by reporting into an office where I felt I didn't necessarily need to be at this time to do my work. And so I recognize that not everyone has the ability to do that. But we all have the ability to make certain choices about our lives and about our health and about the things we will and won't do. Ultimately, our lives are in our own hands. And we have to remember that leaders, especially of organizations and companies, and even the leader of, you know, the country, they have to do what they feel is in the best interest of the organization that they have been placed in charge to lead, which means that at some level, they're not thinking about each individual. They're thinking about the collective and what is required to keep that business engine moving. And I don't envy leaders at this time. Like, this is one of the most difficult times to be a leader, because you are literally making decisions about your organization, having to consider the actual safety and health of the employees. And that is not a position that I envy of anyone at this time. But I say all that to say that when we're talking about leadership, oftentimes we think about the great parts of leadership, right? About make the organization better. And not often enough do we think about moments like these, where there really is no end in sight to this virus. We don't know when it's going to end, and yet business must continue in some way, especially in healthcare. I mean, right now our healthcare system is critical to making sure that we survive as a society. I don't know. I think it's important to recognize that at this moment, you know, our leaders are in a tough spot. And they have some really important decisions to make as it relates to their businesses, to their employees, and to the world at large. And I think that how leaders navigate during this time and the decisions that they make is really going to cement what their legacy is going to be in their organization. And it's really going to change the way their employees view them. And that can be either good or bad, because if they are not taking into consideration the lives and health of their employees, and if they are approaching this in a way where it's business over everything, they're going to lose the trust of their employees, and there's going to be such a huge shift in a negative way once this is all over. And this is a conversation that I was having with a colleague the other day, because we ultimately at some level want to be able to trust our employers and our leaders, and the way that they're responding to this is going to direct how their employees are going to respond to them in the future. But enough of that, I digress. This episode, I wanted to focus a little bit on surviving during this self-isolation and what that means as we are just jammed together with our loved ones in our homes with no end in sight. You know, so this week's episode is entitled Surviving Self-Isolation and Each Other. How do we do that without going crazy and without killing each other in the process? This is something that it's important to me, particularly because I'm a mom and I'm a wife and I'm also working, and I'm trying to remain sane throughout all of this. So when we get back from the break, we're gonna talk a little bit about how we can survive this self-isolation, and I'm going to give you takeaways and tips and things that you can implement to help during this time of self-isolation. So sit tight, we'll be right back.
You are now listening to the one and only Nancy Ruffin.
Welcome back. You guys are tuned in to the Nancy Ruffin Show. This week, we are talking surviving self-isolation and each other. and how to maintain our sanity throughout this coronavirus quarantine. Listen, we are all like living through unprecedented times. This self-isolation thing, this being mandated to stay home and not go outside unless you absolutely have to, is not anything that we've ever seen before. And it's just so different from wanting to be home, you know, on your own versus being told and mandated to be home. And not only are you home, but everyone else that lives with you is home. So if you're married, you're home with your spouse. If you have children, they're there with you. If you live with your parents, that adds another layer of stress. You know, if there are other family members that live with you, siblings, aunts, uncles, having to be together in the same house, under the same roof, at the same time, all day, every day, can start to take its toll on you. But we know, right, because the CDC and our government official and our state officials, everyone has told us that the only way that we will kind of combat this thing and flatten this curve is by staying home, right? So the less exposure we have to other people, the better the chances are that we stop the spread of all this, right? So being home is really doing something for the greater world at large. And okay, yes, we each want to do our part, but then what happens, right, when we're home with all these people all the time? It eventually starts to take its toll on you. And if you haven't gotten to that point yet, I guarantee you that you will. And it's important that we adhere to these mandates, right? Because we have healthcare workers who have to go out to work. They don't have the choice or the luxury to stay home because we need them out on the front lines. We need our law enforcement. We need our transit workers. We need the EMS. You know, we need all of these first responders out there working so that we can combat these things. But to make sure that they stay safe or as safe as possible, then that means we, you know, have to stay home so that we reduce the risk and the spread of this. You know, before I go any further, I just really want to share my thanks and my gratitude to all of the first responders out there, each of you who are going out day in and day out, pretty much risking your own lives so that we can fight this thing, and risking time with your family and their health as well as yours. Thank you. Like, there aren't enough thanks really in the world for the work that these individuals are doing. And so in order to keep them safe and healthy, we have to do our part. But in doing our part, we might very well go insane. A couple of weeks ago, I did a live for Latina Magazine on their Instagram page where we were kind of talking about this and about the effects that, you know, it's been having on us individually and just as a family. And individuals that you love and that you, you know, would do anything for, you probably don't like them at the moment. And so this episode, I really wanted to talk a little bit about that and what we can do to kind of make it through these days. So one of the things that I highly recommend is allowing yourself time to disconnect. Like, disconnect from it all. Disconnect from the news, disconnect from social media, even disconnect from your phone. Like, being able to just shut off your phone for a certain amount of time really can help with the anxiety around this situation. When you are constantly bombarded with negative images and negative news, when they're showing you what these emergency rooms look like, when they're constantly informing you about how many thousands more have been infected and the increasing number of deaths, coupled with just the stress of being confined, at home, that can take its toll on you. And it can cause you to snap for like the littlest things, the littlest reasons. And I say this, I'm speaking from personal experience, because I've found myself snapping at my husband, at my children, just because like my mind can't take anymore. So it's like the constant feed of information coming in, and then the pressure of having to, you know, be present for your family and making sure that their needs are being fulfilled, it takes its toll on you. So being able to just disconnect from everything just for a certain amount of time really is helpful in helping you to remind yourself about what's important. You know, so when you disconnect, maybe what you can do, you know, is take a walk in your neighborhood, practicing social distancing with your mask on, with your gloves, but being able to just step outside for a moment and, you know, and feel some air, be with nature, allowing yourself to just see that there's still beauty that exists in this world in spite of just all of the ugliness that we're experiencing right now. You know, if you can't take a walk and you have a car, then maybe you go sit in your car, you know, for half an hour, for an hour. If you can't do that, then go to your bedroom. And if you share your bedroom with someone, you know, go in there by yourself, lock the door, put a do not disturb sign there, and just be with yourself, you know, for a certain amount of time, and read a book. Start an online course or something that you've wanted to do. Maybe you can take that time to journal or listen to music, but you have to disconnect from the world and reconnect with yourself, by yourself, so that you are giving yourself time to process everything. When you're surrounded by so much noise, it's really hard to remember who you are and what brings you joy and happiness and peace. And so you have to make yourself a priority to carve out time throughout your day to disconnect with the world and reconnect with yourself. Another thing that you can really do to kind of help yourself survive the self-isolation and your loved ones is allow yourself to recognize whatever it is that you're feeling. Whether it's stress, whether it's anxiety, whether it's fear, whatever you're feeling, honor those feelings. Don't try to avoid them. Don't try to ignore them. Don't try to push them down and suppress them. Take time to honor them and allow yourself to feel whatever it is that you're feeling. And if you're able to talk through your feelings with someone, please do so. And that can be with your spouse, with your partner, maybe another family member. Maybe you jump on a phone call, you know, and talk with a friend or someone that you trust. But being able to communicate your feelings and your needs right now when you're feeling overwhelmed and frustrated is so key. Because if you don't, if you just hold it in and you bottle it up, eventually you're going to burst, and it's not going to be in a healthy way. And then you might say things, you know, to your loved ones that you don't mean and that you regret. So allowing yourself to just process and honor your feelings is one way to kind of maintain your own sanity. Talking through things is so much easier than waiting until you're at your breaking point and you just blow, because then it's no good for anyone. It's not good for you, and it's not good for whoever's going to be on the receiving end of that blow up of yours. I think something else that we can do during this time is just create a new routine. You know, even if it's, you know, at home, right? You're home, you can't do anything, but being able to carve out your time and your hours for what you're doing and when you're doing it can bring back a sense of normalcy. So even though you're not going out to work, establishing a start time for when you are going to start your work and establishing an end time for when you're going to end is important, as well as, you know, putting in those break times so that you're not working, you know, throughout your entire day and you're overburdening yourself. And you, by doing that, you also make sure that you're not burning yourself out. You have to set limits on your work when you're working from home. And then if you're also homeschooling your children, like my husband and I are doing, it's important to set boundaries and expectations for your kids. And I say that because the first week we were homeschooling, first of all, we were going crazy. We were trying to do everything simultaneously, and that created burnout. And so what I recognized was my kids were trying to take advantage of the fact that they were home, and so they weren't sticking to their breakfast times, to their snack times. They were getting up, you know, during the time that they were supposed to be focusing on their lessons, and constantly interrupting my husband and I while we were doing our work. And that was just a huge recipe for chaos. So what we've done is that we've started to just honor the routine that they had in school. So we had make sure that they get up early enough to eat their breakfast, so that by the time school starts, which is 8:30, they're doing their schoolwork, and their entire day is broken out by subjects and the things that they're supposed to be doing each hour. That includes their school break times, as well as the snack time. And that has really just helped to establish a new normal in our house. So now they know that they can't just come and interrupt us because they want a snack, because they want to drink. I mean, because are you doing this in school? If you don't do this in school, then you're not going to do it here. And so we had to set those expectations for them because they were running us ragged the first week. And so if you're homeschooling your child, set the routine and the schedule for them as well, and make sure that they honor it. Because if you give in, then they're going to just keep pushing, and they're going to, you know, they're going to keep pushing to see how far they can go, and you're going to drive yourself crazy, and you're going to burn yourself out. Another thing that you can do is to keep a journal of at least one positive thing that happened in your day. You know, and I know that it's hard because we're home, you know, and we're not going out. So it might be really difficult to find that one positive thing that happened. But I promise you, if you look for the positive, you'll see the positive. And then you'll learn to appreciate it, and you'll be grateful for those moments. You know, so even if the one positive thing is that the kids got through their school day without interruption, that's something that you helped to establish. If, you know, the one positive thing is that you were able to complete, you know, that work assignment that you were struggling with, then write that down. You have to be able to find the small pockets of positivity and joy in your day, regardless of the madness and the craziness that we're living through right now. One other thing that you can do, and this is specifically to couples who might be feeling the pressure and the stress of being together all the time and trying to get these kids through the homeschool and just maintaining that bond and connection, is try to establish a date night where it's just the two of you. You know, and it might be that you have to wait till the kids go to sleep, but you set a date night where you're just focused on each other, and you try as best as you can to do the things you would do if you actually went out on a date. You know, so you can enjoy a glass of wine together, throw on, you know, some romantic music, sit and talk, but carve out time that's specific for you and your partner to just enjoy each other. And the last thing, you know, just take it one day at a time. Like, don't think about tomorrow. Don't think about next week. Don't think about next month. Just think about getting through today. Focus on today. Focus on what you can do to make today better. And then wake up and do the same thing tomorrow. I hope these tips help you. They've certainly helped me. And until next time, mi gente, stay safe, stay strong, stay positive, and stay home.
Thank you for listening to the Nancy Ruffin Show.